This is To the Ends of the Earth. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage your faith and ministry in the Lord Jesus Christ. Each broadcast seeks to highlight a missionary or organization that can encourage you and provide resources for your ministry. Whether at home or abroad, whether vocationally or on a volunteer basis, it is our prayer that this presentation will inspire, encourage, and equip you to serve the Lord by bringing the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Today, my guest is Cody Hughes, who's serving with the DM2 Youth Conferences. They're going around from state to state and city to city, teaching the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 8, in depth to countless youth and impacting countless lives along the way. I hope you enjoy this interview.
All right, we're here with Cody Hughes and DM2 Youth. Cody, it's your first time on the show, but we always start by asking our guests to share the gospel because we think that's central. We just cannot hear that enough. Plus, our listeners, it gives them a chance to find out exciting new ways to share the gospel themselves. So would you please give us a brief gospel presentation?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, what you said rings a bell with me because you said it's the most important message of all, and Paul would definitely agree with that because he says, I delivered to you first of all in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And that's the gospel message. It's a message that can easily be convoluted or used flippantly in just daily message or at church. But literally, the word in Greek is euangelion, and it means good news. And that is good news because the Bible tells us some sombering news, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. And typically, people think, oh, I'm a good person. But the problem is, if you go before a judge and you say, I've done so many good things in my life, he's not going to care about that. He's just going to care if you've slipped up one time. Right. And it's that same way with God. God says we've all sinned, so it doesn't matter what good we've done. He says all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags in Isaiah 64:6. And so the problem is that sin separates us from God. And that problem is solved through the gospel message because there's a penalty for sin, but the penalty was fully met through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. And I often ask people, why did Christ have to die? Why couldn't I die for your sins or you die for mine? And some people have a hard time answering that question, but we have to actually think about why Christ died and why he was the perfect sacrifice. And it's because he was sinless. Unlike me and you, I can't die for you, you can't die for me. But Jesus was on outside of that pit of sin, and he can reach down and pull us out. Right. And so that's the significance of him dying for our sins. And John 3:16 comes to mind. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so the chasm of sin can be met through Jesus Christ. And the response to the gospel is simple faith alone in Christ alone and his work alone. In fact, I think of Romans 4:5, which says, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And even Paul in Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Other verses come to mind as well, but that's a beautiful gospel message that we see throughout the scriptures, all throughout the scriptures. And it's actually the message that we are instructed to, one, not be ashamed of, but two, instructed to preach, because I think of Romans 1:16 where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Mm. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And the other interesting thing about the gospel is it not only saves your life, but it changes your life as well, to know that there's a loving Savior out there who gave his life for you. And now through the Holy Spirit in and through us, we can live for him as we present ourselves to him, as Romans 6 would tell us. So that's just the gospel that changes and saves lives. Yeah.
Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that. I just never get tired of hearing that wonderful message of hope and peace for everyone, anyone who would believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well,
you have a special place in the DM2 ministry, particularly what DM2 is doing this year. And our listeners will be at least somewhat familiar, likely, with DM2 and some of its history and its plan. But I'd really like to, well, first of all, how old are you?
I'm 22 right now.
22. Yes. And it is amazing to have been at this conference and just hear that you're just so mature, so far beyond your years, and teach the word with such great engagement, such a whole Bible picture. I'd love to get a brief discussion on how you came to be so mature and so ready to preach the word instant, in season and out.
Absolutely, yeah. One thing that I tell people is anything good in me is from my Savior, Jesus Christ. And furthermore, I tell people that I'm an ordinary guy with an extraordinary Savior. And I really do mean that. Because anything in and of my flesh, I would agree with Paul, is filthy, it's rotten. And the only way that I can live a life of purpose is through my Savior. But it is interesting how I came involved with DM2, because I would consider myself beyond blessed to come in contact with Pastor Brett and DM2, because when I was little, I had a lot of questions, and oftentimes I'd ask people questions and I wouldn't get any answers. Specifically, I think of just my salvation questions when I was little. What do I need to do to be saved? I knew there was heaven and hell, and I just knew I didn't want to go to hell, so I wanted to go to heaven. Asked my Sunday school teacher, and she told me, ask Jesus into your heart. And I did it every single day, sometimes multiple times a day for weeks, months. Cause
just wondering who kept letting him out.
Exactly. And then I found out, guess what? That's not even in the Bible. In fact, we're not instructed to do anything for God. Rather, we're instructed to respond to the gospel, what he's already done for us by faith. And that changed everything when someone shared that message with me. Now, for the time being, I was just fine. I knew I was on my way to heaven. That was good. You know, that's all I was worried about, and that need was filled. But eventually, this leads me to DM2. Pastor Brett told me, we're going to hold a Bible workshop at the church I was going to. And I was like, okay, I've never heard of a Bible conference or Bible workshop before. But sure, I'll think about maybe attending this. And he said, there's another thing, I want you to teach at this Bible conference. And I was like, oh no. So for the next few weeks, I avoided him. Like anytime I saw him in the lobby at church, I would just go use the bathroom or wait until my parents were going to the car. And yeah, I did not want to do that. I was not open to that at all. But thankfully, the Lord was very gracious. And that first conference, we went through Romans chapters 1-8. And not the conference, but the Word of God, that message from Romans 1-8 changed my life. Just so many things. I understood justification, but I did not understand sanctification at all. That it's not about striving in the flesh to try to be a better Christian. It's not about trying to keep the law to be a better Christian. Rather, the Christian life is Christ in and through us by faith. Just the way we're saved by faith, we're instructed to walk by faith in the same person. That reminds me of Colossians 2:6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ, so walk in him the same way. And that's something that I'm still learning day by day, because as you know, we all want to revert to striving in our flesh. That's the sin nature. But thankfully, that first conference kind of, I caught the vision of disciple making. If any of the listeners don't know, DM2 Ministries, it stands for Disciple Makers Multiplied. It's really DM squared with like a 2. And so that's the message of disciple making. It's all about replication. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, teach faithful men so that they will teach other faithful men also. And so that's how the church marches on year after year, because guess what? If you make a disciple maker, your seat will not be empty when you die. Guess what? The church will march on. And we know that's going to happen with or without us, because Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Mm-hmm. But why not get tapped into what God is doing in this dispensation? And so that's just a testament to God's grace that I've been able to find DM2 and get involved. I know God doesn't need me, but he wants to use me. And that's my prayer, that he would do that more and more through this ministry. And so it's been a blessing, great ride so far.
Ooh, that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so good to hear. Well, so one of the things that anyone who's been a part of a DM2 conference knows the power of what it's like to sit, and things that maybe we might have thought were not possible, you know, to sit and listen to and to be taught and discussing the Word of God for sometimes 6, 8, 12 hours a day in certain instances. And there's many who are skeptical of that. I myself was until I went through my first DM2 conference. But the skepticism rises exponentially when it talk about youth, middle school, high school students, elementary school students, college students, being able to sit for that amount of time and be engaged by the Word of God. What has been your experience in relationship to that concern?
I'm very glad you asked that question. It's been crazy because, like you, I was skeptical, not only for others, but myself, right? I didn't think, what? The Word of God, I'm sitting down listening for 8 hours a day. I don't know if I can do this. But I found out that the Word of God does not need any help. In other words, you don't need any entertainment or anything else in addition to the Word of God. The Word of God can keep your attention, and God designed it that way. Reminds me of 2 Timothy 3:16 that says, all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You're not going to get bored when you're hearing accurate teaching of the Word of God. And I still never get bored when I'm hearing good teaching from the Word of God. But the DM2 curriculum was actually designed for pastors. And so there was that concern. First off, could we do a youth conference? Would they listen? Would it be beneficial? And so really we brought that to God in prayer many years ago, and we're like, God, if you want this to happen, then allow it to happen and we'll see if it is a success. And we were just blown away. We were blown away with the response. The youth were able to pay attention. And I think it's partly because of our culture. We consider the millennial generation to not be happy or be able to be entertained without a phone in their hands or a video game or something to be looking at that doesn't involve texting or technology, right? But that's something that actually is false. When you expect hard things of youth, I've found out that they respond. We need to stop coddling our youth in today's age and society and rather expect greater things of them like we did many years ago. And they will respond when you expect hard things. And the Word of God doesn't need any help. So what happened is we had our first conference. It was a huge success. And ever since then, every summer, we've been going through different books, inviting more youth. And God is raising up the youth that were once listening to the messages to now teach it to others, not only at the conferences, but throughout wherever they live. And that's just really cool for me to witness, because now I'm seeing the results of disciple making in my own life and other people's lives. And that's just really, really cool to see 2 Timothy 2:2 and Matthew 28:18-20 in action.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, you really strike a strong chord in me, and the reality that we have all of this bad press and these negative attitudes from the older generation about millennials, and perhaps some of them are confirmed by certain instances. But the reality is that unless we demand much, unless we ask, give them the opportunity to step up and step up to the plate. And that's part of the reason, right? They've never been challenged to step up to the plate and, you know, lead their peers and do these things. So it really is a phenomenal thing for reaching out to the next generation, which is, of course, vital.
Absolutely. In fact, something you said reminds me of, I heard a recent statistic a few days ago that 70% of youth after they graduate high school do not return to church. They were just doing it because they were forced to. Absolutely. In fact, something you said reminds me of, I heard a recent statistic a few days ago that 70% of youth after they graduate high school do not return to church. They were just doing it because they were forced to, or it was a high school thing with their family. And that really is very sad to me. We're not investing in our youth the way we should be. Either they're getting a false message that doesn't really have any lasting impact, or they're not being invested in or encouraged enough so that when they go off to college, they're not trying to find a church home. And the Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling together. And so that's very important, that you have fellowship with other believers. And so I think disciple making is really where it's going to come back, when we're investing in youth and actually seeing them as the next generation that will be us one day. And so that's what DM2 youth conferences are really all about.
Tremendous. Mm-hmm. So how does... there's always been, or not always, there's more traditionally been, a sort of tension between the church, the local church ministries, and then the parachurch ministry of any kind, of any variety, sort of these various youth organizations or college organizations, kind of feeling as if they're competing with the church. And I think it's one of the special things about DM2, but would you be willing to weigh in on the relationship that DM2 is designed to have with the local church?
Absolutely. In fact, that has been a big issue recently. And it could turn into that. It could turn, obviously, the church is supposed to be edifying the believers, and the church is supposed to be ministering or going out into the communities and preaching the gospel, making disciples. So the beautiful thing is, some people can misunderstand this, but DM2 is not about taking the place of the church whatsoever, because mm-hmm. we do not want to compete with the biblical model at all. Rather, DM2 is designed to come alongside a group of believers or a church, and through the church give people the tools that they need in order to go out and make disciples through the local church. And so it's a shift of mindsets. If you don't understand it, you might think that's a competition, but it's really not. In fact, DM2 is just an organization. We could do the same thing without the name DM2. We just like DM2 because guess what? It's Disciple Makers Multiply.
<That's right. laughs> The name fits.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and as a pastor of a small church, I have just been constantly and repeatedly impressed with the fact that DM2 as an organization as a whole, and now getting to experience this most recent youth conference, is about supporting in ways that many parachurch organizations never are, but is about supporting the local church in a way that's cool. Well, let's take a break and listen to those scriptures that you've picked out for us, and we will come back and take some time to discuss that and go on with the interview.
Awesome. Thank you.
And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Matthew 28:18-20.
Well, Cody, I am so glad you chose those passages. They're just central, vital to every true biblical mission. It's just great to hear them again. I'm dying to find out. Why did you pick those two verses or passages?
Definitely. Start out with the first one, which is 2 Timothy 2:2. I have it here in my Bible. It says, Paul talking to Timothy, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And one thing that I'm struck with is the term faithful men, because we've gone to a lot of conferences and we found a lot of faithful people who are willing to sit and be taught for hours and hours every single day. And not only faithful to listen, but also faithful to teach it to others. And that's what, you know, Paul was talking about here. I think of Pastor Brett, the person who has probably discipled me the most in my own personal life. And he's just always been faithful to teach me the word, but also teach it to others. And even take the back seat, right? Because so many times you feel like, oh, I want to teach that. But Pastor Brett would just stay back and let others teach instead of him. And even though he could totally teach it a lot better than I could. But that's all about disciple making and investing in others. And so that's a very encouraging verse for me when it comes to disciple making. Teach faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And it doesn't have to be in a large scale setting. It could be one-on-one, just like Paul and Timothy. And so that's the first verse that was really encouraging to me when it comes to the issue or method of disciple making.
Fantastic. I just really appreciate how you caught the importance, the vital importance, like you, as you mentioned earlier, of just not leaving your seat empty. When you're gone, who have you built up in your place? And we have the opportunity to build up multiple people in the lifetime, in our lifetimes, and hopefully leave more in our place than we were, you know, than the one seat we occupied.
Absolutely. And you think about it, if we're lucky, or blessed, I should say, we'll make it 100 years, but most of us won't even make it to 100 years. So every 100 years, there's a new generation that is being raised up. And specifically, it's very sad how I think right now in America, we're at the lowest rate of Christianity, or there's more and more atheism or people not even caring about God anymore, right. Which is sad because we've drifted from how we used to be. And so that is just disciple making emphasized even more, that we need to be doing this, and Jesus tells us to do that. So that's it. That kind of goes to the next verse, in Matthew 28:18-20. And this was Jesus' last words to his disciples. And I always tell people, if I had just a few minutes left to live, I think what I would say or tell people would be really impactful and important. And before Jesus left his disciples, these were the last words. So obviously his last words are going to be really impactful and important. And he says to them, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" And so when you work through the passage, it's encouraging, because so often we can get discouraged and we can kind of hesitate a little bit to go out and share Jesus and make disciples, because it's scary. It's intimidating sometimes. And definitely have had those feelings before, and still do have those feelings. But an encouraging verse is in verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." And so when you go preach Jesus and people say, "What gives you the audacity? What gives you the right? Why are you doing that?" Well, the answer comes back to what Jesus said: "All authority has been given to me." And in light of that, the fact that he has been given this authority, or giving us this authority, he says to do something, and he says to go. Now, that's a word that I think a lot of churches have forgotten about or misdefined, because we think, come to church, come to this program, come here, you know, which is not bad. You want unsaved people to come to church, but the biblical model is to go and share the gospel, because people don't naturally look for what is good for them. We have to go take the message to them, and I'm kind of reminded of Romans 10 when it said, have beautiful feet, right? Preach the gospel of peace. Your feet get you to where you're mouth can be in a good place to share the gospel. And so he says go, right? Share the gospel. Then he says therefore make disciples. So it's not just about sharing the gospel, but it's about a constant discipling or investment. And the interesting thing about this verse is that if you're a follower of Christ or a student of Christ's teaching, you are a disciple. But he actually tells his disciples, "You're disciples, but you need to go make disciples." And that's the command right there. And that takes a constant investment. When you look at the life of Jesus, he constantly invested and taught and was nurturing and alongside his disciples everywhere they went. And so that's not a one-time thing. That is a thing that takes years. And I've been discipled, like I said, by Brett for years now. And I just really thank the Lord for using him to change my life. It's absolutely amazing. And a lot of people think that discipling is just getting up and teaching, and that's not how it is at all.
No.
It's a constant investment. It's a one-on-one. It's an example. It's about leadership. It's so many more things than that. And obviously, we're doing this all by the Word of God. This is our standard right here. Nothing else is our standard. And that's why I find it interesting that the verse goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know baptism is just an outward picture of what has already transpired inwardly, and so doesn't save you at all. But verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things. There's a lot of churches nowadays that have shied away from teaching and teaching clearly. There's so many churches out there who just don't want teaching anymore. And it's a lot of human philosophy. I'm reminded of Colossians 2:8, I believe. And that's very unfortunate, because Jesus told us that teaching was important, especially when it comes to disciple making. And so he says, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And then he gives us starts it with an encouragement and leaves us with an encouragement. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And that's a beautiful passage of scripture right there.
Amen. Well, I just am constantly affected by the reality that he said, he didn't say go make converts. He didn't say go make team members. He said go make disciples.
Absolutely.
And so it's not just that one shot, you know, hit and change. So really fantastic. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's awesome.
Just definitely.
I'd like to kind of shift our focus just a bit. Every ministry has challenges, has dark points, has even moments of discouragement. So I guess, and particularly because this broadcast is designed to hopefully encourage others to take their ministry seriously and take on the challenges of their ministry. So What challenges, if there's any you're comfortable sharing, what challenges have you seen throughout this, your ministry, and how have you dealt with that? How's that been going?
Absolutely. Disciple making is hard. It really is. Wasn't it Jesus who said, "I'm sending you out among wolves," yeah, right? And that's what disciple making, it's not easy at all. But I always told people, even when it comes to a college degree, doing something easy isn't really worthwhile. You know, you want to do something hard. And disciple making is a command that Jesus told us to do, and it is hard. I've had many setbacks. One that I really just think of is just when you have Bible studies and you're inviting people to come to these Bible studies, people say all the time, "I'm going to come." And you're like, "Yes, I can have an impact in a disciple make," but so often they don't come.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's just a testament to the fact that it's so easy to get someone to come to a pizza party, but the sin nature doesn't want anything to do with God. Mm. And so even an hour out of your day, just 1 hour, or maybe even 30 minutes, nobody wants anything to do with it. And so that's why disciple making is hard. But really, we can't focus on the numbers. And that's something that God's been teaching me for years now. You can't focus on the numbers. And it reminds me of, I think it's Colossians 2:2 or 3, somewhere in there. It says, "Set your minds on things above, not on things of this earth." When you're setting your minds on things of this earth, guess what? You're going to become discouraged because you're not going to see a lot of people under the teaching, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the game. But when you're setting your minds on what really matters, whether it be just one person hearing the word, then you're going to be encouraged. And I heard from a sermon I was listening to, it's like the ABCs. A lot of churches are focused on attendance, bodies, and cash. And when you focus on that, that's the wrong focus, right?
Right.
It totally is. And we're not supposed to be focused on the external, but rather what's going on internally. And our focus should be vertical rather than horizontal. And so there's always setbacks when it comes to disciple making, and there's setbacks with your own personal life, discouragement and wondering if you're qualified, because really we are not. I mean, Paul said, I think God chose to use the foolishness of preaching, the foolishness. He calls it foolishness. And really, when you think about it, it is so crazy to think that we would be used to teach God's word, like God's word teaching, that it's crazy, it's foolishness, it really is, but God's chosen that method. And so sometimes you wonder, am I qualified? And you are not. There's your answer. None of us are, right? I can look at great preachers and be like, wow, that's amazing, but none of us are qualified. But still, God, in spite of your weaknesses, wants to use you. And I would just encourage listeners to present yourself to be used. Don't close any doors. If the Lord wants to use you, he will. In fact, one of the most dangerous prayers you can pray is, "God, use me." And I say dangerous as a joke. It's a good prayer, but he will use you if you present yourself by faith to him. And so there's always going to be setbacks. But again, I'm reminded of those two verses I read earlier. All authority has been given to him, and he's telling you to do this. And also, he's with you to the end of the age.
Yeah, well, and just the reality that it's him working in and through us should give us a confidence that whatever the results that come out, right, are not our own.
Yes.
Whether they're good or bad. I mean,
exactly.
They're his results, and his purposes will be fulfilled.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that. It's a huge encouragement. Well, I know there are people listening who possibly are youth, as defined by our culture, being younger than 20 or 25 or whatever it is.
I still consider myself a youth,
you
and
go.
I'm 22.
22. Yeah. Put it well above 22.
22 years young.
Years
old.
Yeah.
Years so, young. Yeah.
But and then I think there also may be a number of people who have a child, a grandchild, a friend, a neighbor, a kid around the neighborhood. How can people get connected to what DM2, and in particular DM2 Youth, is doing? How can they find out about that or get involved?
Absolutely. And the main way I would say is, first, go on your computer, www.dm2usa.org, to see exactly what DM2 is doing, what they're all about. And they'll have events on there. Specifically, I'm thinking of this, we just finished this week, going through Romans chapters 1-8 at Fort Collins Bible Church with Pastor Brad. And it was absolutely a blessed time. Really enjoyed it, learned a lot, and it was awesome. But this is a Bible conference tour that a team of us teachers are doing. We'll be in Dallas next week, and then we'll be in West Virginia, and then Georgia the next week. And so The prayer is to make disciples of all the nations, starting here in our nation, and for that to replicate. And so going on the website, dm2usa.org, would help you tap into some of those things. The first thing that I would encourage everyone to do is find a conference. And even after you, if you have to travel a ways, it is totally worth it. It is so worth it to come to one of these conferences, because the Word of God will change your life when it's preached in this fashion, verse by verse, going back into the Greek, seeing what the meaning is, and taking your time with the Scripture, not just fluffing on over it, but really understanding what the Word of God is all about. And so I would encourage the listeners to get there, and it doesn't matter if you're young or old. If you're young at heart, you can still come to a youth conference. This is pastor-level material, which youth are able to grasp as well.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And I just sense, I think that there's at least a possibility there's someone out there saying, well, maybe those super Christian, but not my grandchild or not my child or not my this neighbor kid or that neighbor kid. Give them a chance. Give them an opportunity. This conference, this is our first, Fort Collins Bible Church's first DM2 Youth Conference. We have seen a fourth grader, or two fourth graders and one fifth grader, attend every day for the entire day. These are kids that ordinarily are bouncing off the walls, but able to listen and fill in the blanks and interact with the material. And then when we came to the end, what they reproduced and said that they learned was just amazing. So my exhortation as a pastor and as someone who's just been through this is give them a chance to reject it themselves. And if they will reject it, give them a chance to accept it. Give them a chance to for the Word to touch them in this special and unique way. And I would also encourage you, if you can find a conference nearby you or upcoming, if you are used to giving your child or your grandchild a good gift, this is a great gift to offer to get them to such a conference, or perhaps put them up in a hotel or get other people together. But this is a worthwhile investment, and it is life-changing.
So. Absolutely. I look forward to every year. The highlight of my year is going to a DM2 youth conference, whether it's youth or an adult conference. That's the highlight of my year, because I'm learning the Word of God, and it's impacting my life. And I did the joy of the Lord just to go to these things. So I would definitely say exactly and wholeheartedly agree with what Pastor Brad just said.
Well, Cody, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Thank you for your service to the body of Christ, both here at Fort Collins Bible Church and in Dallas, Virginia, and Georgia yet to come, and where the Lord has you ahead. I'm quite confident that that he'll be using you on until he comes for us or we go to him. So thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for being here with us today.
Absolutely. All glory to the Lord, and thank you for having me on this podcast.
Whether at home or whether abroad, your mission, dear saint, is the gospel of God. Whether in darkest jungles or down at the store, tell the news about Jesus and make him known more. Whether your mission field is where you were born,